Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
They called me to ask me to play. Rob don't call me. See, Rob, I won't play. Isaiah Thomas. He assured me, he said, you know what? Chuck everyone, Isaiah. So Isaiah's going to be a part of the team.
That's Michael Jordan. Very difficult to hear, but let's just briefly summarize it. He said he's not playing on the Dream Team if Isaiah Thomas is on the team. And Charles Barkley was involved in that too, I believe. But I certainly, and I actually, like I appreciate it more now than ever that how many years is it, 30 years since that? And Michael Jordan still hates Isaiah Thomas. Like, that feud is still there.
Well, it seems a little petty, but...
Oh, it's completely petty.
You're old man now. Let's move on.
No, it's completely petty, but I love it. To where Michael Jordan's never given it up.
No, he's never given it up.
No, he is petty. He's petty with a lot of these things.
Yep.
I would consider that a great sports or just a great feud.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some other great feuds...
Oh, man, a lot of feuds.
In sports. And we put it as our Twitter question, at Mark Cerise, WIP. And also, if you want to chime in with whatever else we're talking about, at 215-592-9494, 215-592-9494.
We just take two off the deck, Shaq, Kobe, T.O., Donovan.
Yeah, they're the top local seeds there that we've been mentioning.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's some other good ones out there. And, like, see, I think there's a difference between rivalries and feuds, right? Like, you can have a great rivalry without it necessarily being a feud, right? Or we view them
the same.
Are they similar?
Yeah, I mean, this is a little, obviously this is deeper with these guys, but there are hated rivalries out there, yeah. I think they don't always necessarily lead to physical altercations, but you can tell teams that don't like each other. And it isn't necessarily an ongoing feud per se. It's just two teams that usually play highly intense competitive games. Games seemingly are meaningful games, right? You can't have a feud or a rivalry between the Bengals and the Browns. Neither one of them have played in a meaningful game. And I don't know when, at least at the same time.
Yeah.
At the same time. But at the same time, you got teams like Pittsburgh and Cleveland that don't like each other.
Yeah, they're just always going to hate each
other. Yeah.
The cities hate each other.
But you take Pittsburgh and Baltimore, that's a rivalry.
Yeah.
That's a rivalry that goes back to Ray Lewis and even Big Ben's earlier years. Like, that goes back for years. Hines Ward, all those guys, that goes back
for years. It just carries on from team to
like
team
and
generation.
Yeah, it is. It's like a tradition.
Yeah, it's a one-sided rivalry here with the Cowboys, mm-hmm. right? It's more about us than them.
Yeah.
But there's certainly great rivalries, and then there's ones that actually even make it to feuds. Like I would say that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning is a good rivalry, although Tom got the better of it mm-hmm. most of the time. That's not a feud like Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier was. I mean, that was really personal.
Yeah, it was personal, yeah.
I mean, that was big.
It's difficult in boxing not for it to get personal.
Yes, because that's part of selling
the
fight,
yeah.
is that you have to do it.
Yeah.
But what are some of the other ones? 215-592-9494. I don't want to give out all of them.
Can I just say this, though, real quick?
Yeah.
And I love the topic. And I can't wait to hear more of the feuds or rivalries. But come on, man. I mean, are we still trying to judge Michael Jordan because he didn't like Isaiah Thomas? Like, who cares? That's between those two.
No, I like it.
And by the way, Charles Barkley didn't want him on the team.
Well, he was not well-liked.
Magic Johnson, who was his good friend, But remember,
until the HIV thing.
Yes. When that situation happened and people started putting rumors out there about those two
Magic
guys'
and Isaiah
relationships.
Used to kiss on the cheek before
right.
games.
So that led people to speculate about other stuff. And Isaiah, instead of being a supporting friend, wanted to distance himself. Magic didn't appreciate. They didn't speak for decades.
And they finally,
I think they finally patched it up a few years ago. So when you look at the players that were on that team and you throw in a Larry Bird, you didn't need Michael Jordan to say, I'm not playing if Isaiah is on the team. There were other players on that team that had feuds and battles with Isaiah and the Bad Boy Pistons. You know why? And I respect Isaiah. He's one of my favorite players because of it. Because he didn't give a damn about those glamour teams. He knew the league was trying to sell Magic and Bird and Jordan. The Pistons had to fight for their two titles.
And they did.
And by the way, he beat all of them. Magic, Bird, and Jordan.
Yeah, he should. I mean,
he beat all of them.
Listen, Isaiah's disappointed because he didn't get to be on that
yes.
team and win the gold medal. But honestly, his gold medal is all those guys didn't want me on the team because we kicked their ass.
Because we kicked, exactly. And if I were him, that's the way I would. Instead of saying, I didn't get on the team, that's a hole in my resume. I'm like, Zeke, come on, bro.
Yeah, like you got to understand yeah. why they felt like that.
And you're a bad boy. Like, come on, dog. You're a rough and tumble bad boy. So your response should be like, listen, I know he wasn't the only one that didn't want me on their team. A lot of those guys didn't want me on their team because I kept a lot of them from winning a championship when we won back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I would have took it. By the way, he beat Clyde Drexler, who was also on the team.
Exactly.
And Clyde Drexler was on that team, and Isaiah beat him too.
Kyle Quinn is in for Jack Fritz today. And Kyle Quinn's also a millennial. Did you watch the Last Dance, Kyle?
Every episode. It was amazing.
And what did you think of Michael Jordan after you saw it?
You know what? I kind of went in without an opinion on who was the greatest of all time, and I came out of it thinking that Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think even Jack, who wants to distance himself from Michael Jordan, you know he felt like that
he
watching
knows.
It. He's like, yeah, you think, come
knows.
On.
LeBron knows.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, because now what I'm hearing a lot of is that, oh, well, LeBron's the best basketball player of all time, but Jordan's the greatest basketball player of all time.
Yeah, we got to qualify.
They have to try to qualify.
Yes.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Chris in Williamstown. Chris, what do you got?
So I got two. For a one-time feud, Mitch Blood Green against Mike Tyson.
Wow, in the streets.
In the street. That was a great fight. And then the longtime feud, Jeff Kent and Barry Bonds. Those two.
That's
really
a good one, yeah. Didn't they get into a fight in the dugout?
Yes.
Yeah, they did. They did not like each other at all. But I actually, hey, Ike, I got to tell you this. I actually met that Mitch Blood Green. He was going to this place called Slim Jim Robinson's gym. And he was bona fide crazy.
Well, he was a heavyweight boxer, so
he was just first off, anybody gets in a street fight with Mike Tyson's got a screw.
His nickname's Blood.
And his nickname's Blood, yeah.
Mitch Blood. All I remember with Mitch Blood Green is that Jerry curl.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the Jerry curl in the eye. After Mike Tyson had hit him in his eye, and he was on the news complaining about it.
Was it in Harlem at some jewelry place or high-end clothing place or something?
Yeah.
I think it happened.
Yeah,
it
was something.
Then Mike Tyson, he got into a couple of brawls outside
that was,
the ring.
That was funny. But, yeah, and Jeff Kent, I mean, who was – I don't know if who was more surly, him or Barry.
Yeah, imagine those two.
Thanks,
yeah, they're
Chris.
Both about the same. I don't ever remember Jeff Kent smiling.
I like Bonds better, but not by much. Remember Kent? He was doing wheelies on a motorcycle or something, and he hurt himself, and he tried to say he slipped in the shower. You know, when these players are doing something they shouldn't
sure.
do, and they come up with the excuse of
– it's the off-season injury.
Oh, I slipped on a banana peel. And somehow the team finds out what they got because the injuries aren't consistent with what they're saying.
You might have had that recently happen around here. Might have.
Possible. Let's go to Jerry in Lancaster. Jerry, what do you got? How are you?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Jerry.
What's up, Jerry?
I want to weigh in on the asterisk.
So what happens? What happens when a championship's won this year? Does it mean the same?
The basketball and the hockey have completed 90% of their season. To me, no asterisk means just as much to me if they win the championship. Baseball, I could care less. As usual, bunch of spoiled little brats. I don't even care if they have their season.
Wow. See, that's what's going to happen with baseball. That's going to happen. If they mess around and don't start this season, man, it's going to have more than just this year as an impact on the sport. It is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it'll kill it. It'll kill it.
On that note, it's Ike Juice time. Have a good day, gentlemen.
Oh, all right, give me a little bit of Ike Juice there.
He must be drinking that Ike Juice. Ike Juice, Ike
Juice. Yeah, like the championship to me, and this is really for anybody, right? Like if you're one of the teams in the NBA that were already positioning yourself to where you're right, the season was, I mean, was it 90% over? It was close, right? I think they had like 18 games
come
left
on,
or
basketball?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing with hockey. If you were a team that was positioned to be a top seed, let's just focus on the NBA because, frankly, the NHL, you can be a lower seed and you can win. It's not like the NBA where
right. You
need to be a top seed. There's two or three teams that have a chance to win a championship in the NBA. Mm-hmm. If you weren't positioned to be – I mean, let's the Lakers for one team, Milwaukee for another team. If you weren't one of those three or four teams, then you weren't winning a title. But what has happened now with there being a stoppage for 4 months is that now everything's out the window. And, I mean, I think it's great for the viewers because it really does. There's a sense of almost anything can happen, or at least more things can happen than what normally happens in the NBA, right? And that's great. There's no East, there's no West. So really, like now, almost anything can happen. But for a team like the Sixers, and believe me, I agree with this. I actually think the Sixers are in such a better spot having the months off, having Ben Simmons back, having potentially a fresh Joel Embiid to where it would be different. It wouldn't be the same. It just wouldn't be the same. I mean, would we take it? Yeah, I mean, we would take it, but that it wouldn't feel the same. There wouldn't be that same satisfaction of earning it like you would over the course of a regular season, at least for me.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer for me. Especially if the Sixers do it with the road they would have to go through. If they do these seedings 1 through 16, you're talking about beating Boston in a first-round series, potentially having to beat Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers in a second-round seed, and then having to face the Milwaukee Bucks in the conference finals, which would be semifinals of this 1 through 16, and then possibly facing the Lakers in the championship. If I knock off the Celtics, the Clippers, the Bucks, and the Lakers, which if you go by league record, you would basically be knocking off 4 out of the top 5 teams in the league. Milwaukee number 1, Lakers number 2, Clippers number 3, Boston number 4. So you would have to go through the top 4 out of the top 5 teams in the NBA to win this title. Yes.
It would be an impressive run.
I would
run.
Take it.
It'd be an impressive run. Let's go to Dan, Mount Carmel. Dan, what's up? How are you?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
What's up, brother?
What's up, Dan?
So, Ike, I don't know this for sure, but I would imagine when you were growing up, were you a Cincinnati Reds fan?
Oh, yeah. Big time, brother.
Yes, so, sir. 1981 probably breaks your heart then. Best record in baseball didn't make the playoffs because of the strike and the split seasons and –
Yeah, 1981, I wasn't even – I was about 8 years old. I probably didn't – eight years old then. It didn't break my heart, believe me.
Okay. Well, it broke – that was always my second favorite team before I – I'm a little bit older than you. So,
I picked up the Reds in 84, either 85.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But, I mean, they had the best record in baseball, but because of that 1 year, because of the strike, they did a split season. The first half of the season, champion,
right.
Second half, champion. Reds didn't win either.
Well, the Expos had the best record in baseball in 94 when they went on strike. I mean, think about that. Expos never won anything. And they could have. Yep. That could have been the team. They had so much talent on that
team. Well, they just won a title.
Yeah, they did.
30 years later. Yeah. But I mean, as far as asterisk, there's no asterisk. The Dodgers don't have an asterisk on that championship that they won. Steve Garvey's not giving his ring back. So yeah.
No one's given their ring back. But well, I mean, would it have the same feeling? Because the Sixers are dead in the water if they would have played the season as normal.
Yeah, but if you're a fan of the team, whatever team wins it, if you're a fan of the team, it's going to feel the same.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not a fan of the team, you can come up with every excuse you want to.
Yes.
But and then real quick on the Isaiah stuff, I said to your producer, I could take or leave Isaiah. Was never a big fan of his. Didn't hate him either. Mm-hmm. But the thing that bothered me back then when he didn't make that team and still bothers me to this day is he was going to be on the 1980 team as well.
That's
and
right.
Couldn't go because we boycotted the Olympics.
Oh, because it was in Moscow.
That's right. Yeah.
So he got punched twice, and that never sat well with me. But the more you learn about it, maybe he got what he deserved, but he definitely deserved to be on that 1980 team. And I think cooler heads could have prevailed. Maybe he would have got his gold medal too in 92. But
not with MJ. Not with MJ, Dan.
Yeah, you know what I believe it was, man. Those guys and Philadelphia fans should be able to identify with this because it's not much different than the Flyers back-to-back Stanley Cup. And I didn't learn this until I watched the Broad Street Bully documentary, how much the Flyers were hated and disliked.
Oh, it was the NHL against the Flyers.
Exactly. So the league didn't appreciate that brand of hockey.
Yeah, they were the bad boys 20 years
before. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
The NBA didn't appreciate Detroit's brand of basketball.
Well, it wasn't good for the sport.
They didn't like it. So they weren't going to reward a guy who was the captain and the leader of those guys. And the perception was that the Pistons and mainly Isaiah as their leaders were out there trying to hurt players. They weren't playing basketball.
No, they were trying to hurt
players. They were trying to hurt players because they weren't athletically good enough, so you had to basically goon up the game. You had to ugly up the game, intimidate the best players. And that's why Jordan hates Isaiah, because he feels like as a guy who played in the air as much as he did, you could have ended his career at any point with some of the stuff they did to him.
Yeah, Bill Laimbeer was a cheap shot artist.
Laimbeer too, yes.
He was a cheap shot artist.
Cheap shot artist. So they, like the Pistons, were the hated team of that era.
They were. I love that team.
Oh,
those,
man.
Those bad boy
teams.
Yeah. Because by that point, I still love the Sixers, but you knew, as you know, Charles was good, but you knew they weren't going to be good enough. And this is before Jordan really reigned supreme.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it. I liked that Pistons team as a kid. Sports beeps. Here's some good ones. Dr. J and Larry Bird. That's from Tom from Abington.
That's a good one.
It's a great one. Shaq and Chuck. That's TNT.
I don't know, is that TNT or they got into a fight?
A couple times. How about this one?
No, I mean on the basketball court.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Shaq and Charles. You can pull up the video.
Yeah?
I remember. Charles swears he got a hit in on Shaq.
Shaq's too damn big, man. Charles is 6'4".
I think Shaq was sort of acting like he was going to hit him, and Charles sort of ducked and swung.
Got
underneath
him.
Grabbed him.
Is that right? I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's when Charles was with the Houston Rockets.
How about this sports beef? Charles and Joel Embiid. Embiid does not like Charles Barkley. He does not appreciate his commentary. No.
Yeah, you're right.
He does not. Josh Norman and OBJ.
Oh, that was a good little beef. For a couple years there.
What about Odell and the Net?
Odell and the Net's a great one.
Yeah.
That's a very good one.
Yeah, he hasn't seen the end zone much lately.
How about this one? John Runyon and Michael Strahan. Was that real?
Very good. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was real. But in a respectful way.
Yeah. Didn't cross the line?
No. They both played hard, man. And I don't think I gained as much respect for a guy I played against that was of a rival team like I have for Strahan when he did his Hall of Fame speech and he brought up John Runyon in his Hall of Fame speech about how much he respected him and he appreciated those battles. That's how you respect your opponent.
That's a good sports beef. Right?
That's yes. And they went at it.
Oh, yeah. Big
oh,
time.
Yeah. They went at it.
Strahan ran his mouth, didn't he?
He had some of the best one-liners, man. I'm telling you.
And you'd be over on the sideline watching.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to let you know. He talked to the whole sideline. Great players do that, man.
Mark Sinriso on 94 WIP HC1 Philadelphia broadcasting from the Tasty Cake Studios. Here's a good one.
But those guys embraced the Eagles-Giants rivalry.
Oh, they loved it.
Like, those guys embraced it.
Well, every year when
I don't know if these Giants players embraced the rivalry, but all the way up through Tiki Barber, all those guys, they embraced, even Eli embraced the whole Eagles-Giants rivalry.
You brought up Tiki, and we generally, when we do the Army-Navy radio row every year, which I don't know if it's going to happen this year, maybe, but he'll sit down with us, and it's just fun to see you two kind of reminiscing. And he'll sit back in his chair, and you could tell, man,
that
was his favorite rivalry when he was a player.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a great
rivalry. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Ryan Strahan, that's a good one.
Here's another good one. Chase Utley against the city of New York. Mets fans, at least.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did the
He broke what's-his-name's leg. The third slide.
Oh, my God, yes. I didn't even think about that one. Ruben Tejada,
he busted his leg.
I remember arguing with these fans about that.
He's a good baseball player.
Yeah.
I mean, he slid late and snapped his leg in half. You know damn well what that was.
He wasn't near that bag.
That's what I should have known. Chase Utley was going to be the most important player of that 08 team.
I'm not saying Chase was trying to break his leg.
But,
and that play's done, and it's dirty every time it's done, but it's done in baseball. But, man, when you snap someone's leg.
Yeah.
Man, but see, that's what makes Mets fans great, is they hated him for so long because of that.
Was it the All-Star game up there where he said, boo?
No, that's Cliff Lee.
Was that Cliff Lee?
No, that was Chase.
That was Chase. Yeah, well,
I thought he just had the stone face when the camera panned.
It was,
they were all booing him, but he's just
boo bleep
there.
You.
Yeah, I thought that was Chase.
Was it Chase?
Yeah.
I
love that.
215-592-9494.
When Chase said something, he said it.
Great examples of sports beefs in honor of Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas. Look who's on the phone, Ike. Your favorite caller. Herb in Northeast Philadelphia. What's up, Herbie?
What's up, Herb?
I just heard about an hour ago Mike Trout's supposed to make $38 million, but they're only agreeing to give him $12 million. So what I told you a couple weeks ago about the deferred payments, a lot of these big-time players might have to, you know, settle that up for the next year or so if they want to get on the field. There's a snag. There was a snag reported by one of the national media guys. But I'm going with the Eagles right now. I'm going with the Eagles 11-5. But if they win these first two games, and then they win the third game, and they go to San Fran and win, they're 4-0, I'll say 12-4. But I ain't saying that until I see what they do in the first four.
Oh, we're 3-1 after that first four. It's going to be hard to beat San Francisco out there.
Yeah, I know it's
going to
be hard.
Yeah.
But if they get me and you, Ike, out there on the sideline and start coaching up these cats, then we're going to be like 12-4, 13-3. You understand?
Yes, sir.
So I was
What position would you coach, Herb,
I was at the Sixers.
Never mind.
Today.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay, I was at the Sixers, ABC. The cameras were there. They saw me. I was down there.
Doing what?
Doing what I told you I was doing, okay?
You were not inside of the Sixers facility, Herb. Yes.
Well, guess what? There was nobody down there except the camera. There was maybe
hold on, Joe
the
camera was there?
Through,
he was.
There was one guy that went through. I left early.
What were you trying to do?
I was down there like 12:30. I was talking with somebody on the phone, but don't worry. I'll be down there. You don't have to worry about that.
Did Coach Brown show up today?
I didn't see him, no, but I'll be talking with him shortly.
What about Embiid or Simmons?
I didn't see any of them, you know?
All right. Well,
what about Tobias Harris?
Something on the 6 o'clock news, you might see.
Hold on, what are you wearing? Well, so I know who to look for. What are you going to have on? What were you wearing today?
Blue shorts, Adidas blue shorts, and a blue shirt.
What about footwear?
Were you wearing
sandals with socks?
I wear my I got Adidas. I got these new ones I just bought.
Some Yeezys?
I forget. They look something like that.
Oh, okay, like Yeezys.
Did you hear about Michael Jordan's new shoe? I told your guy yesterday to tell you.
What about it?
It's Air Jordan 6 rings, 3 colors, $170 a pair. Mm. They're slick. They're pretty slick.
All right,
maybe
Herb.
You should buy a pair for your son.
He's not. Right. You know what's funny? I don't believe my son has ever asked me to buy a pair of Jordans.
No.
Not that I wouldn't, but I don't. He has not ever asked me.
He's never came to you and said, "Dad, I need these Michael Jordans."
And because I'm not a Jordan enthusiast. I don't have a bunch of Jordans in my closet. I got 2 pair. Probably have more Kobe shoes in my closet. He is a Kevin Durant fan. But kids today, he's more into Vans and.
More for the style
He's not necessarily into basketball shoes.
That's
so
actually what I was thinking. Is that kids today are wearing chucks
skinny
or
jeans
So not like us.
You know, he likes Air Force Ones. I was proud of that. I'm like, dude, you don't know how far those go back, man. I used to have so many different colors of Air Force Ones.
How many pairs of shoes do you have in your closet
now?
Yeah, like do you keep your sneakers? Do you keep good care of your sneakers? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do, but I only keep shoes for 3 years.
And then after three years, they get retired to the horse farm next.
I got a brother. I got nephews that feet are growing, and you know,
heck yeah,
I just give them to them. Yeah, you know, my oldest brother, he'll care. Yeah, he'll take them.
Because mine go to, I wear the hell out of them, and then they get moved to the garage, and they become outdoor shoes for mowing the lawn and things
like
that.
Yeah, it's always a pair, one or two of those in the mix.
And
then
when they get really nasty, they go in the trash can, and then others get moved down or whatever. So
yeah. No, I'm one of those, you know, toothbrush, clean the shoes.
So you are. So
I
you're
still
at,
do that.
So you're at, you get the white shoe cleaner, and you get the toothbrush out.
Not the white shoe cleaner. I use soap and warm water. You just got to put a little more elbow grease into it, man.
Is that
you
right?
Scrub a little harder. You wash your shoestrings with bleach. You know, if they're white, obviously, if they're colored, you don't. You could throw them in the washing machine. But, you know, yeah, I still do that.
Mm.
That's some habits are hard to break.
We take good care of your shoes.
Yeah, that's when you listen. When you only used to getting 1 pair a year,
you better take good care of
them. When you were a kid,
right?
Yeah. I'm like, hold on, man. This is my shoes on the first day of school. I got to wear these for Christmas too and Easter.
Got to take care of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Kyle Quinn, what kind of shoes are you wearing in there today?
You know what? I'm actually wearing Nikes, but I was never a big shoe guy. I usually just wear them until there's literally nothing left, and then, you know,
you get the next one.
Until I'm forced to buy a new pair. Yeah.
Yeah. See? You get traumatized when you're forced to wear them that way and you don't want to. When you're the kid that the other kids are pointing at when you come to school, like, dude, what's up with you going with your shoes, bro? Yeah, you're traumatized by that.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't keep shoes that I actually wear out long enough that they look worn
down. That's when you ship them out.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't keep shoes long enough for them to look like that.
My prize sneakers, this is weird. I've had them since high school, are Larry Johnson Converse Cons.
Oh, yeah, the weapons.
High
man.
Tops.
Yes, sir.
Basketball shoes. I don't even know why.
The suede kind?
They were not suede.
Oh.
No, they were black. I don't even remember. I mean, it must have been 11th grade, so we're talking about 90, 93.
I had a pair of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a grandmama guy.
Yeah, I was too. I liked them. Got a Door and Window would like to acknowledge the health and safety of our community remains at the forefront of their minds, and together we will all get through this difficult time and come out stronger than ever. Got a Door and Window. They're open, by the way. 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. Some sports beefs. Check this one out. Crabtree and Aqib Talib.
Yeah.
Chain snatching.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The chain snatching. Yeah, there's people out there don't like Crabtree. Yeah, Crabtree and Sherman.
And Sherman, Crabtree must have been a serious dude.
He must be a real, you know, talker out there on the field or something.
It's a good one on the text line here. Cortland Finnegan versus Andre Johnson. That was more than a feud. That was legit.
Yeah, no, that's.
That seemed like something happened at a club in the offseason. Like somebody stepped on somebody's shoe or something happened.
That was not just football. Right?
No, that's one of those ones. Oh, I can't wait to see him. Yeah, I can't wait. We play him this year. We play him every year. Same division. Yeah, that was. I think that was the first time any of us saw Andre Johnson show emotion.
Yeah, because you're so right. He's just normally catch the ball.
Stoic. Didn't celebrate. Didn't do any of that.
Flip the ball to the ref.
So, yeah, I completely blame Cortland Finnegan for that.
It was something.
Yeah, you ticked him off.
How about this one? And I always love saying this. Charles Oakley and Tyrone Hill. Oak Tree was throwing bounced a basketball off of Tyrone Hill's head. Tyrone Hill didn't do anything
didn't
about it.
Did he slap him or something?
Yeah, he slapped him across the face.
Yeah, come on, man.
Well, and reportedly it was about a card game. There was some money owed
Oak Tree. Gambling. Well, you owe Oak some money and you ain't paid him?
I wouldn't have showed up to the game if I was Tyrone Hill.
I would have made sure he got that check before we stepped on the court.
Great one from Matt Norland. Mitch and Nails. Lenny Dykstra
like
and Mitch Williams. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, that's right.
Because Lenny keeps – he won't shut up about 1993. Like, he won't give it up.
Oh, listen. When I was working with Howard, and Howard could get Lenny to call up every once in a while. And this was around – I don't know what the occasion was, but this might have been like 09. And one of those interviews was with us. And Howard basically – allowing Lenny to talk about Mitch and how he kept finding the barrel of the bag.
On and on and on.
Yeah, it was. And then we wound up doing some type of
Roast. Did Conklin do a roast on him?
Yes.
I think that might have happened.
That didn't go over well.
I can imagine that it didn't. Let's go to Dave. Back to the phones. Dave in Dover. Dave, what do you got? How are you?
I'm doing good. I listen to you guys' show every day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And, yeah. And Ike, you're one of my favorites.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Dave.
Listen, I know this is probably not going to be popular, but I got a beef with the owners in baseball. I put it on them. I know there's arguments on both sides of the coin, but I've been listening to both sides, and I still come back to, you know, the fact is they run it like a business. It is a business, and they pay players. They sign contracts. The players, the players are really hurting themselves by the comments that they're making, but it all boils down with me to the owners. The owners could pay this whole year out, and with the money they've made over the years and of owning it, and it wouldn't hurt them. Yeah, they would lose. I mean, they would lose this, you know, have a lose financially
sure.
lost the yeah. season. But
what business isn't losing money this year?
What's that?
I'll say I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying what business isn't losing money this year?
Baseball. Well, that's true. That's
yeah, everybody's losing so, money. Yeah.
Right.
So why should you? It'd be like if my boss came to me, my owner came to me and said, "Hey, we're gonna, we're expecting everybody in the shop to take a 25% pay cut or whatever it is they're asking for."
Mm-hmm.
You don't share the profits, and so why should I take a cut in pay? You know, I have to, I'm like everybody else has said, you got to put food on the table. Mm-hmm. And I realize some of the players make huge, gigantic money, but look at the guys that don't,
Yeah.
I just see it. I think the owners got a lot of audacity to ask the players for a cut.
Mm. All right, Dave.
That's
Dave, listen,
I feel about it.
We appreciate it. I would say more people are siding with the owners than the players on this, and I don't agree with that. We side with the players. Like, I know that you're with
yes.
me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, asking a guy that's making $20 million and up to only take 20% of his salary, and this is – we all know this is after they cut what they're supposed to make in half because they're only playing half of the season, and then from there they're only making 20% of their salary. Like, this whole – well – like, but we had Bob Nightingale on earlier in the show, and he seems to think that it's going to get worked out. He's not worried about it. But like, he even was like, "Oh, well, the owners are losing 40% of their revenue." Like, well, okay,
yeah,
and
yeah, I'm sure that's probably the case. Yeah, nobody's arguing that. Yeah,
and like, okay,
yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to make as much money this year.
Yeah, I'm not going to feel sorry for the owners. That's just not going to happen. Now, if the players were being unreasonable, then I'd be ready to rip the players, right? Because we all want them to get back out on the field to play. But if this is about owners losing a certain percentage of money versus another percentage of money, no. You own the team. You have the ability to recoup the money. and you will recoup the money.
Mm-hmm.
You will. It may take you a year or two, but you're not about to sell the team because of the pandemic.
They're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right? You know when you have equity in your house, if you need money, you can take out a home equity loan?
Yeah.
Right, well, some of these teams, they can take out a home equity loan on their franchise if you don't have enough liquid money. Because your freaking franchise, the worst franchises are worth $1 billion.
Yeah.
The A's, which is the biggest toilet of a franchise, are worth $1 billion.
By the way, this is the last week for minor league players to get $400 a week.
And they gave them a whole 3 days in advance notice?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I mean, the Phillies are going to continue to pay their minor leaguers past the May 31st deadline. The Oakland Athletics are not. They're not paying their minor leaguers anymore.
I'm glad the Phillies are.
Listen, the Phillies are, even though they're a part of the owners and everything else, we know the Phillies are a good organization.
Yeah,
and a good
ownership
group.
No doubt about it. And believe me, everybody has to do a little bit of number crunching and penny pinching. We all do.
Yep.
But when we're talking about minor league players that rely on a $400 a week salary so that they could pay their rent and pay their bills, you're basically talking about $1,600 a month, roughly. Man.
Yeah, is that 400 bucks before taxes?
Right. I don't even know. Yeah,
so
exactly.
If that's the case, that's more like they're making $250, $275
yeah.
a week.
Yeah, and that's what I'm like, as an owner, dude, it's not worth it, man. It to me, it's not worth it for you to – somebody crunched the numbers for us yesterday. I think the person who put this out that the owners were taking or going to end paying minor league players $400 a week, they added it up, they gave us an approximate number, and it's about $1 million that the owner, that Oakland's going to save.
Yep.
$1 million to a $1 billion franchise.
Yep.
You would rather not pay your minor league players.
Yep.
You're already a cheap organization.
Yeah.
You're already Moneyball. You already don't believe in paying players.
Like with the 76ers. The 76ers were the first to come out and say we're gonna make our employees take less. Right. And it was the visual of it. It wasn't even really business wise, it made sense.
Right.
People aren't working or whatever. They're gonna make them work, but it doesn't matter. It's what it looks like. It looks terrible for the Athletics. Absolutely. 215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. 215-592-9494. Owners or players? I mean, that's what it's coming down to in baseball. Owners and players. The owners. See, here's the thing. What I think the owners are proposing is ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous. It's one thing to say, okay, they need to bend a little bit. And the players are going to have to bend a little bit. They're going to have to give a little bit. I think everybody recognizes that. But what the owners are proposing, and I know it's the first proposal, is ridiculous. They wanted, like, Bryce Harper to make 20% of what he was originally supposed to make? A signed contract?
Yeah, those players saw that proposal and said they can't be serious with this.
It's unbelievable. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese, your reaction to that coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.